T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is over. Listen in as we analyze today's Falcons game
on the Falcons Flyover
with Thomas Mott.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live inside the Kia Studios. This is the Falcon Flyover. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. I normally don't bring up other games in progress till the end of the show, but I think I should share with you, being that it is America's team and all, Dak Prescott just had a gruesome injury on the football field in Dallas as they are leading the Giants by one. He was carted off the field in tears. It looks like a broken ankle, or dislocated, whatever you want to call it, but his ankle was essentially facing the wrong way. Again, Dak Prescott carted off the football field in Dallas with what appears to be a significant ankle injury, in tears as he was carted off with every single member of the Cowboys standing around him. We'll keep you updated on that situation. Back to Atlanta here. It's just tough to see a quarterback. I mean, anybody have that injury. That was brutal. Andy Dalton is in a quarterback right now for Dallas. We'll update you guys as we continue. Back here on the Falcons Flyover, Falcons obviously losers, and they have their own issues to deal with right now that doesn't involve their quarterback, even though maybe it does a little bit. 23-16, they fall to Carolina, but the news, obviously, that everyone just talking about, the Athletic report saying that the Falcons have all but finalized the firing of head coach Dan Quinn, and the Jason Lockenford tweet saying they are also going to go ahead and let go of Thomas Dimitrov. The fact they haven't done it yet, Dylan, you and I were talking, why not just do it now? I mean, they could easily say, hey, guys, guess what? Here's the little press release. But now, if they're not going to do it now and they didn't do it within the last hour, this is a Monday or Tuesday morning sort of thing. Monday morning sounds about right.
Yeah, if they, like you said, you hit it right on the head. If they haven't done it by now, announced anything by now, it doesn't take that long to put out a press release like this. If they haven't done it now, essentially, they're not going to do it until tomorrow, maybe Tuesday. But I would expect tomorrow.
I would expect tomorrow, too. I don't understand why you would wait one more week. And plus, you got to get the next Ulbrich's got to take over, and you got to get ready for Minnesota. You don't have the luxury of waiting till Tuesday because you play on Sunday afternoon of next week, and that's something that is going to be interesting to see if it is Ulbrich, and it should be. Jeff Ulbrich, the former defensive player for the Miami Rainbow Warriors. He's a Hawaiian guy, or played for Hawaii, I should say, and now obviously the assistant head coach in Atlanta. He's the most likely option to go ahead and be promoted. Does Rich McKay now become the interim GM? I mean, you got interim is a interim is normally a title used in the 13th, 14th, and 15th week of the season, right? You're an interim for a couple of games. Whoever is going to be the interim head coach is going to now do it for the next 11. Like, that's a long, that's more, almost three quarters of the year. Interim head coach can be fascinating. And you know what's actually going to happen too? Let's say Ulbrich starts winning. You're going to have that discussion of, do you keep him in there? You got to remember the LSU's head coach, who I'm blanking on right now, but LSU's head coach, Ed Orgeron, thank you. He was an interim guy at LSU, and then he won football games, and they kept him in there and won a natty. So that's another whole wrinkle we're going to have to throw in here as we now wait for the firing of Dan Quinn, which might or might not happen by tomorrow or Tuesday, according to The Athletic. Back to the phone lines, 404-741-0929. Dylan sees the names. I don't. Dylan, who's up next?
Shout out to Travis from Hampton, waiting for a long time. Stand on the line. Travis is on.
Travis, hey, man, listen, appreciate you hanging on. What's up?
Thank you, sir. I guess, you know, start off best wishes to Dak Prescott.
Yes.
I hate to see anybody get hurt.
Yes.
I can tell you this. I'm in a Facebook group called Atlanta Talk Sports. Shout out to them. And this has been going on for years, and the calling of Dan Quinn's firing has been going on for years. But to me, it's a four-headed monster, and there's got to be a major change, whether it be Thomas Dimitrov, Dan Quinn, Matt Ryan, and Arthur Blank. Now, of course, you can't fire the owner, but you will hope that you can get a general manager here that knows what they're doing and not make all these bonehead moves that we've been making. We've had a few good ones, Brady and Deion Jones, but majority of them hasn't really panned out. Matt, I know that we can't just cut them as much as probably most of us wish we could, but there's got to be a major change. This next head coach cannot be a defensive head coach, because Dan Quinn has clearly shown us that not every head coach that comes from a successful program can be the guy. And I think that's where we fooled ourselves at, because we saw what Seattle did, but we didn't realize that, hey, maybe Dan Quinn was the guy that actually built it. So it was like, it was almost like when we got Ed Hartwell a couple of years ago from Baltimore, but he got notarized from playing alongside Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
But like when we got Pierce Price because he was playing alongside Eric Moles. So we've got to be more diligent when we find this next head coach and not just go after the guy that's hot at the moment or the guy that's the girl, the pretty girl at the prom, I guess you should say.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree, and I appreciate the phone call there. I want to preface this, and I think that the last thing you said is exactly what needs to be said. You can't just go out there and get the first name that falls into your lap as the hottest guy. Eric Bieniemy is going to be the name that every Falcon fan wants. And maybe Eric Bieniemy is the next great head coach of the National Football League. You look at the history of Andy Reid assistant coaches, offensive coordinators, they've been pretty good. Doug Peterson, you probably heard of him, head coach in Philadelphia. He's won a lot of games, been the postseason each of the last 3 years, and won a Super Bowl for Philadelphia. So Bieniemy makes a lot of sense. But I like what Travis just said there. We need to emphasize this. Atlanta's got to do the due diligence. And maybe firing Dan Quinn tomorrow is why they want to go ahead and do it, to get a head start on the due diligence. Because you cannot just roll in here with a guy that you're like, eh, I feel okay about him. Because the next head coach has got a winner. Because you don't want to start this whole Cleveland Brown, Jacksonville Jaguar, Miami Dolphin rotating door of head coaches where you hire a guy, and New York Jets, like hire a guy, fire a guy. You got to nail this. Now, with that being said, as an Atlanta Falcon fan, if it's not Bieniemy, who everybody wants, if you don't know who that is, he's the head coach for, the offensive coordinator, calls all the plays in Kansas City, so naturally he'd be a good choice. But if they don't get him, don't immediately just go, why did they hire, you know, some random offensive coordinator? Because there have been a lot of random offensive coordinators who went out and eventually became good head coaches. I will say this, Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, a very hot name, but I think this could be a year where the higher-ups, whoever's making the decision, a.k.a. Arthur Blank in Atlanta, gauges the fan base and understands he can't just go out to the NFC West and hire another defensive coordinator, because you're just going to make people even more mad, because that's exactly what Dan Quinn was. Quickly, before we get to our next phone call, here are your list on Google of the top GM and top coaching candidates right now for 2021. Ed Dodds, who is the Indianapolis Colts assistant GM, is on the list. Director of Football Operations, Mike Borgonzi, I think is how you say his last name. He's the Kansas City Director of Football Operations. He's another GM candidate. And how about this one? ESPN's Lewis Riddick is number three on this list. Riddick, obviously a front office personnel guy with Philadelphia's. He was a scout until 2008 and then was the assistant director of player personnel in Philly. Had some good drafts there from 2010 to 2013. He currently is an ESPN analyst on Monday Night Football, but he's kind of been a name like Mike Mayock was for the Raiders, and Mayock did a pretty good job, so throw him in there. And then here are your head coaches not named Eric Bieniemy. Robert Saleh for San Francisco. Josh McDaniels is a name a lot of people like. And then there's an offensive coordinator whose name is blanking me in Indy, and also an offensive coordinator whose name is blanking. Where is that? Oh, shoot, I forgot. I forget where the other one is. I'll figure that out for you guys next. But it's going to be a lot of offensive coordinators that are going to be rolling through here, as they're probably going to interview a bunch of them. Next caller, we have time for a couple more here. Dylan, who's next?
All right, we got next someone who's waiting a good long time to our girl. Allison is calling, so Allison is on.
Allison, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Welcome back. Glad to know your surgery went well, had all your wisdom teeth yanked out.
Thank you very much. Yes, I did. I forgot to mention that all four came out. I couldn't talk for a week, and here we are. Shout out to Will Polacek for filling in last week. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and like I said, when they made the announcement that you were out because of that, I'm like, well, dude, you know, make sure you save some brown looking for the rest of us, because we gonna need it. But real quick, and what the previous caller said makes so much sense, which is, you know, Eric Bieniemy right now is the top candidate that you want to go and get. The last three or four coaches for the Falcons have been defensive coordinators or defensive coaches. Mike Smith was one. You know, Dan Quinn was one. Jim Mora was an offensive guy. You had, you know, the dumpster fire that was Petrino. So, I mean, somehow we've got to decide what we're going to do. And like you said, it's not just Dan Quinn. It's Thomas Dimitroff, too. Both of those guys are the walking embodiment of the Peter principle. They have been promoted to their level of incompetence. And unfortunately, they have spewed their incompetence all over the city of Atlanta and over the Falcons franchise. I think Arthur Blank saw what happened with the Texans today in that they fired their coach last Sunday, got a new coach in, won today. Yeah, that may be that, you know, that's recency, but something changed in that organization. The culture changed, and that's probably really what Arthur Blank is looking for. He's looking for a culture change because Dan Quinn keeps blowing sunshine up our behinds just way too long, and he's not looking at let's look at what the problems are and fix them. And one of them may be me. So anyway, thank you for your call and good. And again, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I think you summed it up perfectly. Everything that you said is 100% dead on. You need a complete culture change. And here's what Arthur Blank bet on last offseason, and it didn't work. He bet on the idea that the team was a couple of players away. Todd Gurley, Dante Fowler, Hayden Hurst, couple of players away from being a winning football team. And he bet on Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn just needing a couple more guys to be able to do that. And honestly, I understand why. Now, last year, 1-7, you're like, man, you got to let him go. He didn't. Wrote out the last year. They played well, and they played for him. So I get why they brought him back. The problem is now you're stuck with an 0-5 team. You're about to be without a head coach if the reports from The Athletic are correct. And you're going to have to ride with a team that people don't care to watch for the next 11 weeks, a full offseason, and then potentially two or three more years of quote-unquote rebuilding before things are back to normal. If there's a bright spot, it's the team that you played against today. You almost model yourself after them. No one expected Matt Rhule, which I guess is it's a whole different conversation. Do you look college for a head coach? Like, do you go get a Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma or some other highly offensive-minded college guy? That'll be a whole different discussion. But Carolina went with Baylor, and which is not an offensive-minded or not an offensive known for big offense besides the Art Briles era. It's a whole different thing. But they weren't known for offense underneath Matt Rhule. I know I was there. I was calling and covering the football team, and yet they hired him, and it's turned out fantastic. I mean, they're tied for the division with Tampa Bay right now. Matt Rhule's been fantastic. We got to be honest. Carolina, without their best player in Christian McCaffrey, could be a playoff team in the NFC. They have completely turned it around. So these are things you got to watch for and you got to eye for and you got to figure out. And we mentioned it last year on my show. I said you're going to have to compare this year's Dan Quinn to this year's Matt Rhule. And if you lose that and you're Arthur Blank and Carolina's better, you're going to have to answer those questions because guess what? They're here now and you're 0-5. So more on this on the other side of the break. We still have another 30 minutes. So if you're waiting for a phone call, I'm going to talk less next segment and hear more from you guys. So stick around. Stay tuned. Quick break. Back in a flash. More phone calls on the other side. It is the Falcon Flyover Sports Radio. 929 The Game. 929TheGame.com.
Game is over.
Wow, this game is over.
We're doing a complete breakdown of today's game with Falcons Flyover with Thomas Mott.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here inside the Kia Studios for our final 30 minutes. Go until 7:30 in the lead up to Sunday Night Football. Good one, Vikings Seahawks. You'll hear that here on 92.9. Kickoff set for about 8:15. We're still focused on and working on the Atlanta Falcons loss as they fall to 0-5. Quickly, before we go to the phone lines again, I mentioned that we gave you a Dak Prescott update when we had one. If you're just joining us, Dak Prescott carted off the football field, a gruesome ankle injury. His ankle was basically facing the wrong way. It was very, very bad. He has been taken to the hospital, according to multiple reports. So Dak has gone to the hospital. Not necessarily a massive surprise, but when you have that bad of an injury, remember Alex Smith was rushed to the hospital, you got to make sure that there's no extensive long-term damage. You got to get that thing figured out quickly. And so the only news we can say is Dak is done for the year and could be done for longer. It's a scary situation. Thoughts and prayers are with the Cowboy quarterback. They are winning right now, 31-23. The Giants are driving. Andy Dalton is your quarterback for Dallas. Back to the phone lines right now as we keep reacting to the Jeff Schultz. I keep mispronouncing his last name. Schultz. Jeff Schultz of The Athletic. I don't know if everybody's even saying Schultz, that's how we say it, right? He has the tweet, which I'll read to you right now again on Twitter. This came a couple of hours ago, right after the Falcons officially lost. Quote, the Falcons firing of Dan Quinn has been all but finalized. An announcement could come Monday or Tuesday, a source told The Athletic. And then he went on to say, of course, Falcons are 0-5 for the first time since 1997. I will say this. The last two times Arthur Blank has fired the current Falcons head coach, it comes after a loss to Carolina. So the trifecta could be today. And so we'll wait and see what happens on Monday or Tuesday. Back to the phone lines, 404-741-0929. Dylan, who is up next?
Shout out to Sed for waiting a long time in Union City. Sed is up next.
What's up, Sed? Sed, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, man, I just feel like the biggest problem that the Atlanta Falcons have, man, is we have a lack of identity. You know, when you look at the Atlanta Falcons in the history, you know, you're really only looking at Deion Sanders, maybe, you know, Julio and Jesse Tuggle or something like that. Like, we lack identity on defense and really on offense. You know what I'm saying? Matt Ryan is not an X-factor quarterback. He's a superstar quarterback. He's a stat stuffer, but we're looking at another Dan Marino by the time he retires. You know what I'm saying? You know, Beno went to a Super Bowl. You even have had a lead, but you won't win it. We lack defensive power. You know, nobody fears our defense when you show up. You got Grady Jarrett. He's good. Deion Jones is a complimentary linebacker, but nobody on our defense is an X factor. And until we can change that, the offense gets the glory. The defense wins your game.
I think that's the biggest fear, and I appreciate the phone call there. I think that's going to be the biggest fear going forward in 2021 is that the defense isn't really close. And I thought the defense was going to be close with the addition of Dante Fowler. We thought they were a pass rusher away, right? And then they drafted A.J. Terrell. But the defense really, with the injuries at safety, and those are long-term, and even then it didn't look like they were really, you know, long-term solutions there. Besides Deion Jones and Grady Jarrett, and I guess John Kaminsky, who has flashed and been decent at some point, second-year guy coming out of last year's draft, the defense isn't close. And so that'll be another discussion you have is if you want to change the identity to an offensive-minded team, you have a high draft pick. But then do you still go defense because defense could be a bigger need? Hurst is going to be here for the long term. Ridley's going to be here for the long term. Gage is here for the long term. They got rookies on the offensive line. Really, the only additions they need on offense, if you keep Matt Ryan as a running back, because Gurley's not a long-term solution. I think everyone understands that. He was a short-term plug and probably a seat filler at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that, of course, didn't work out with COVID. So you would need a running back, but those are easy to come by. And so with that being said, the defense seems to be the side of the ball that you need to address more. But even with that, you got to get an offensive-minded head coach. Oh, I mean, this doesn't seem hard. If you want to appease the fan base, at least for the short term, the long term means we win games. Short term is you get an offensive-minded guy, and he starts to try to change the offensive round into the whole Mahomes style, and a couple years ago, Doug Peterson and Cliff Kingsbury. That's what the fans want. Give it to him. I think that they will eventually whenever they go ahead and hire their next head coach. Next caller is who, Dylan?
Next, we got Jonathan from Villa Rica calling up.
What up? Hey, Jonathan, you there?
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome. Where are you at right now with Atlanta? Changes are going to be coming. Changes are going to be made. What identity would you want for the Falcons in 2021?
I feel like they need to change a lot of things. The defense is one of the biggest things, though. I'm not too convinced that the secondary is as good as they need to be, because when you watch these games, they're getting beat off the line of scrimmage every time the offensive player does any, the wide receiver does any little move. So I don't know what's going on with that. You know, they just sometimes struggle to get a push on the defensive line as well. So that's one of the biggest things on offense. I would say draft, like you said, like someone else said earlier, draft a third round, second round quarterback, like the Packers did. Packers did that last year. It lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying Matt Ryan is an Aaron Rodgers, but I'm saying it might light a fire to him, make him want to come back.
Yeah.
Better next year.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I appreciate the phone call there. I think that's most likely what's going to happen, unless you somehow wind up with the number one overall pick. Listen, let's just say right now, if you have the number one overall pick in 2021, which, guess what, you're 0-5, is not by any means an improbability, If you have the number one pick, you take Trevor Lawrence. I don't care what team you are. If you're the Jets, you have Sam Darnold, I'm still drafting Trevor Lawrence. So if the Falcons are there at one, then sure, we'll get it out of the way. You take Trevor Lawrence. Odds are you won't be at number one because the schedule gets easier the next couple of games. And so with that being said, I think that they will probably end up with 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. And then the question becomes, do you go second or third round for a guy like Trey Lance out of North Dakota State? He's the third overall prospect. Jamie Newman is going to be a prospect. He's the fourth overall one, according to Football Outsiders, and your fifth overall prospect is Kyle Trask. You could go for like a Kyle Trask in the third or fourth round, let him learn underneath Matt Ryan, and maybe bring an SEC quarterback into the mix. It's not that deep in terms of later rounders. After Trask, you get like a Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M, a KJ Costello at Mississippi State, a Brock Purdy out of Iowa State. So there are options. They aren't that great, but if you're not there at one and Lawrence is gone, it's either Fields or wait a little bit longer. And if I was the head coach, I'd wait a little bit longer to the second or third round. Next phone call. We still got a couple of minutes here. Who's next on the line? Dylan.
Next, we got Ricky in Lawrenceville on line 5.
What up, Ricky?
Hey, Tom, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Well, first off, I just want to say, you know, prayers up to Dak.
Yes.
He has a gruesome injury to see, and I hate the fact that Jerry Jones has to pay him. He knows how talented he is. He should have paid him. It just, that sucks for him. So I hope he gets better soon and comes back with a vengeance. But as far as the Falcons go, I mean, obviously I think we all know what changes, you know, need to be made. And I think, you know, while people aren't necessarily talking about this because, you know, Dan Quinn is a hot topic, Thomas Dimitroff also needs to go ahead and move on. I think, I'm not sure how many GMs get to span multiple coaches. And I thought kind of when Mike Smith kind of went down, this was about the time for him to go as well. But there just seems to be, you know, players either being released too early, being released too late, draft picks that have not been hit on. There's just some questionable decision-making I see from the front office about certain players in their talent. And it just seems as if we're not capitalizing around our stars. It seems we're patching holes when we should have long-term fixes. And there just seems to be something missing in the front office from that standpoint. So I hope as well that Thomas does go. He should not necessarily be if the writing's on the wall for him and Arthur, him and Dan Quinn, he should not be the one getting to trade players or anything like that. Like, go ahead and cut bait at that point as well, and let's kind of rebuild so we can have this identity we need to have and get the most out of whatever Matt and Julio have left, because you paid them like that. Let's get whatever we have left out of them.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. And there is a case to be made. I mean, Quinn can go tomorrow. It doesn't really matter if Dimitroff goes or not, even though I think he will, because it's not like he's going to be making a lot of big moves at the deadline anyway. So if you were going to pick one, it's Quinn, but I think they're tied at the hip. One more phone call here before the break. We got about a minute and a half. Who's up next? And whoever it is, you got to be quick.
We got Cornell from Kennesaw.
All right, Cornell, you got a minute. Go for it.
Hey, what's going on, man? Great stuff. One thing I want to talk about, man, pretty much is looking at the personnel that we have had with Matt O'Connor in the past couple of years. Scott Pioli, Dirk Carter, Mike Mularkey, Raheem Morris, all these cats were former head coaches. And the thing about it is that although Mularkey is not there, we had Scott Pioli as well, who worked as GM for the Kansas City Chiefs at one point in time. But the thing about it is that there's a lot of pressure that was up under Dan Quinn. But the thing was, Dan Quinn did not perform as a head coach. My thing is, I know that 1 minute. So what I'm going to say is that the head coach that we should look at, just like how Georgia got Kirby Smart back there, he knew the history of Georgia. He was a player at Georgia. I'm thinking about Ken Whittenhunt.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. No, listen, I appreciate the phone call. And that's an interesting thought process there in terms of where you would go with the next head coach. I think if you wanted to have the ultimate happiness and approval by all Falcon fans, you would do this at GM and at quarterback and at head coach. If you wanted 100% approval from fans, how about this? I just thought of this. You draft Justin Fields, you get Eric Bieniemy to be your head coach, and you sign Lewis Riddick to be your GM / total control of the front office. If you wanted the perfect trifecta in terms of the maximum amount of happy Falcon fans, that would be it. You draft Fields because of the Georgia connection, because they never draft Georgia players, even though, yes, he's from Ohio State, but still, you know what I'm saying. Then Eric Bieniemy, who is the number one, by all means, offensive-minded potential free agent head coach in 2021, and then you go out and get not a wild card GM, but a GM that visually, in terms of you've seen him on TV all the time, like Louis Riddick is always talking about sports, and he seems like he understands what he's talking about, so that, I think, would make a lot of fans happy as well. So if you wanted the perfect scenario, that to me would make a lot of sense because, again, when Riddick comes on ESPN, it's a lot like what Dan Orlovsky or Mike Mayock. They are on your TVs every day, and everything they say makes sense, right? From a player personnel, it's like Louis Riddick seems to be a genius in terms of the front office. So if you bring him in, whether he is or not, doesn't matter because it would make Falcon fans, I think, happy to have the top two guys at their respective potential positions in 2021.
If the Falcons give me Eric Bieniemy as a head coach, yep, and Louis Riddick as a GM, I will say it right now on the air, it'll be perfect, yep, and I will get an Atlanta Falcons tattoo across my chest.
Jeez. Yeah, that,
Superman
that's
size
bold.
Atlanta,
that is very
Atlanta Falcons
that
tattoo on my chest.
I'm telling you, listen, Dylan is a diehard, born and raised here Falcon fan, and he's exactly right. People would love to see that because those are the top two guys at the positions who they've seen on TV, and then a lot of fans watch ESPN, and that's what you would get. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're in our final segment, so we're going to get through a couple of rapid-fire phone calls. We'll call it the lightning round, and then we'll get you guys your updates and your highlights. We've got a shootout in Big D happening right now. The Giants just scored. We'll tell you that score and more up next. Falcon Flyover, one final segment. Hang on, phone callers. I'll get to you next. We continue here on Sports Radio, 92 in the game, 92inthegame.com.
Now more of the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game.
With Thomas Mott. Our Falcons play here.
The Falcons Flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live inside the Kia Studios. We have literally a couple of minutes left to get the final five callers in. So, as we always do in the Falcon Flyover, our final segment, we do the highlights at the end. But first, let's call it the lightning round. We're going to give each caller five left, 30 seconds, and then you're done. That's it. You don't get to rant. You get 30 seconds, and I'm cutting you off or going to the next caller. That way I can fit everybody in. A man of the people, right? Dylan, first caller, 30 seconds. Let's go.
David from Tucker is on.
David, you're up. Hit it.
Yes, I think the key to the failure for this current coach and GM is they had a vanilla defense, but in Seattle they had outstanding secondary people, and between the GM and the coach, they were never able to draft or sign outstanding secondary people. They needed a starting outstanding four, and they never got it, and that's why the defense was never better than average and usually below average.
Could not agree more, and he got it in less than 30 seconds. Fantastic. Who's next?
George from Stone Mountain.
George, you're up. 30 seconds. Go.
Give Ozzie Newsome a John Gruden-type contract. Give him the freedom to run the team the way he wants to, hire the coach he wants to, and I promise you, within 4 to 5 years, the Falcons will have a Super Bowl championship. The cream of the NFL, no more. And I want them to keep Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn. I love what happened this year.
Okay, interesting. I don't understand the last part of that, but it was less than 30 seconds, so we move on. Next caller.
We go to Steven in Logansville.
Steven.
Gentlemen, this is going to be a job interview for Raheem Morris for the rest of the season, and God bless him because he turned the team around last year, and I think he can get the job done.
All right, I appreciate the phone call, although the defense is his responsibility, and the defense has not been getting the job done, so he might have already failed the job interview before it even started, but 11 more games, you can turn it around. Not a lot of help, though, in terms of his player personnel. What is it, one more caller or two more callers? How many more do we have? Two more. Next up, who is it?
Keith and Marietta.
Keith, you're ready. Let's go.
All right, I'm just going to say Joe Brady. That's who we need to be going after. Ah. He's been successful everywhere he's been. He's an innovative offensive mind. He's proven he can scheme around not having his best player. Christian McCaffrey's been out. Offense is still clicking. He did great things at LSU. He's been with two divisional teams that we have to deal with all the time. He worked under Sean Payton, so he's got knowledge of the Saints. He's working with the Panthers now. We got to start going for the young, innovative minds, and I think that he's one of the best ones in the game, so that's what we need to go after.
Wow, a perfect phone call. It took 28 seconds. I'm timing these. Listen, I would love Joe Brady. If Carolina will let him go, and they can tell him no, right? Carolina has the control of Joe Brady. I would interview him. I'm fine with that. He's got a lot of experience, and like you said, Carolina's 3-2. Final caller of the day, whoever it is, you're up.
Melvin in Atlanta.
Melvin, wrap us up.
Hey, what's up, man? Look, everybody keeps talking about firing Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn needs to go offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. But in order to put your feet down and let folks know y'all ain't playing, some of them players got to go too. Y'all might not like me when I say this, but to be honest with y'all, They should have went and got Kaepernick, make Matt Ryan play a little bit better. Yeah, Matt Ryan got a lot of accolades. He got a lot of scoring. And he's top 10. He's a top 10 quarterback. But he ain't getting the job done for us. So, I mean, y'all want to move away from Dan Quinn and the rest of the coach staff? I think it's time to move away from Matt Ryan as well, to be honest with you.
There you go. Wrapping it up here, our final caller in the Falcon flyover. Took him exactly 30 seconds. I appreciate people paying listening to the time frame because I want to get some of these highlights in here really quickly. Let's go ahead and get you to where we're at right now. Colts are losing but coming back to the Browns. That one's 29-23, 1:56 to go. Cleveland is driving. They're going to be 4-1. Dallas is losing now, 34-31. It's a two-minute warning right now in Big D. They have a 4th-and-9 from the New York Giant 22. Andy Dalton in at quarterback. They're going to kick a field goal to try and tie this one and give the ball back to the Giants in less than 2 minutes. Earlier games, the big shockers. We'll start with that. How about this one? Dolphins and 49ers. That one just wrapped up. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. 43-17. The Niners, the NFC champs, are 2-3. Texans roll the Jags for their first win, 30-14. Ravens absolutely obliterate Joe Burrow, who is less than 200 yards and a pick. Bengals lose 27-3. Ravens in Philadelphia next week. Rams beat Washington. Alex Smith played in this game, backup quarterback after the gruesome leg injury 2 years ago. Didn't really move the football, though. Jared Goff dominates 30-10. The Rams are 4-1. Philadelphia was down 31-14 at one point in the third quarter. They rallied all the way back to be within two, but the defense gave up 38 Steeler points, including 4 to former Notre Dame wide receiver Chase Claypool. The Steelers are 4-0. They win 38-29 over Philadelphia, who will still be ahead in the NFC East if the Giants hold on and beat Dallas. The Eagles are 1-3-1. The Jets are trying to one-up the Falcons' record right now as they're 0-5 after falling 30-10 to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. The shocker of the day comes via Kansas City as they lose really not a close game. The score says 40-32, but Derek Carr had 3 touchdowns and Josh Jacobs had 2 on the ground. They really dominated Patrick Mahomes and give him his first loss in the last 13 games. Again, those are your scores throughout today. I had to be quick because we are running out of time. I'll see if Dallas can make this field goal, because if they do, they will tie it. But I think we'll run out of time before I can give you that update. The NFL Sunday is always up next on Westwood One, and they do a full update on all of this, which will lead you now into what is the Sunday night matchup, Seattle versus the Minnesota Vikings. That one to kick off at 8:20 p.m. Seattle, 6.5-point favorites up there at what should be rainy CenturyLink Field in Seattle, Washington. Seattle 4-0 for the first time in a very, very long time. I think it's the last, probably since like the early 2000s, I think, is that number. I'm blanking on it, but either way, that is your matchup tonight. You'll hear it on Westwood One. I'm back on Saturday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., so stay tuned for that one for my normal show, Ready or Mott. And then, of course, Dylan and I will be back in here for a matchup of the Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons next Sunday. Full slate of hosts tomorrow. I'm sure they're going to break down everything that we did, so stay tuned for that. I'm sure that there'll be a plenty of weeks to discuss who the next head coach will be. And listen, according to The Athletic, one final announcement. If you just turned your radio on, Dan Quinn will be let go either tomorrow or Tuesday. We'll have full coverage here on 92.9. Fantastic job by Dylan Matthews, as always. He's a diehard Falcon fan who's struggling but still comes in here every single Sunday and puts together a great show producing, making me sound good. Dallas did make that field goal, so they're tied 34-34. With that being said, for Dylan Matthews, I am Thomas Mott. As we go ahead and sign off, it's rough, Falcon fans. But it's going to be interesting. 11 more weeks, and then changes will have to be made at some point. Well, the full coverage here at 92.9. Thomas Mott signing off. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.